All right, all right. Hey, welcome again. Thank you all for being a part of our service today. I want to say welcome especially to all of our guests. If this is your first time here, we want to say a big welcome to you. And thanks for being a part of LifePoint Church. Hopefully you got a chance to fill out that connection card and get that turned in. If not, you can still do that when you leave here today. Church, one more time, just shout the word welcome to our guests this morning.
Welcome,
welcome. We love you being here. We don't want to single you out or call you out, but we certainly want you to enjoy your cookies and eat them like you ain't sharing with nobody. That's totally fine. Also, I want to say welcome to everyone who's joining us for our video service today. We are recording this sermon for our video service today, and we want to say thank you for making room by watching one of our services today, and usually one service on a Sunday gets to watch by video, and so thank you for being a part of our video service today here at Rossview campus. Also, we have a North Clarksville campus at West Creek Middle School, and lots of people watching online. In fact, we have thousands of people that join LifePoint Church through our online avenue, whether live stream, Facebook Live, our website, our app. And so all of you that are joining online, we want to say welcome to you. Thanks for being a part of our church family here. You can give online, get prayer, join a group, whatever you need to do. And by the way, I think I've told you guys this before. In fact, I'm just going to say it again because we need your help on this. We really have it in our heart, and I feel like it's part of God's next season of growth for us. As the military is PCSing a lot of you and moving you around the country, even like places like Korea and Germany, we feel like God wants us to plant little campuses where you're going. And so I go, thank you, military, for sending them, and thank you, givers, for helping us plant campuses where you're going. So we actually have a micro campus that we're looking to launch within the next 3 months, hopefully, at Fort Lewis, Washington. And so we've got a lot of people that go there. And so, yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to thank you. Thank you, Lucy. My daughter is the only one. Yeah, it's exciting. And so we've got folks right now watching from Fort Lewis, Washington, and we're getting ready to come your way. And so we want to put a micro campus. It's going to be in an apartment or like a clubhouse of an apartment complex. And we're going to outgrow that because that's what LifePoint Church folks do. Come on, somebody. We outgrow by invitation or pregnancies. We're just going to grow some way. By the way, I want to shout out to all you pregnant ladies. We're so thankful for you. We know it's in the coffee here, so keep drinking, fellas. I've had guys literally come up to me when they got pregnant and they go, "We drank the coffee, bro." Way to go. But anyway, so we're looking at like Fort Sam Houston, Fort Lewis, Fort Carlson. We'd love to be in Korea and Germany. And listen, that's a simple way. We do it through technology. It's a simple way for us to put small campuses. And then listen, when you PCS somewhere, you need to let us know because we want to connect you with those micro campuses, Fort Rucker, Fort Bragg, Fort Jesus, I don't know, Fort Moon. We're going to go everywhere. Fort Moon. All right, get your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. We are finishing Romans chapter 12 today with a message called Live Different Part 2. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon called Live Different. Again, shout out to Ramel. He was our youth pastor here who came up with this language for us. But last week, I preached through one of my favorite passages of the Bible, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. If you have your Bible, turn with me there now. If you didn't bring a Bible, I would encourage you to do that every week. I'm old school. We like paper Bibles. In fact, we have free Bibles if you don't have one that you can keep forever, leather bound, and it's the same translation that I preach from as well. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God." There's an urgency in the Apostle Paul. He said, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Everybody say, "living sacrifice." So this idea that your whole life is sacrificial, it's dead to yourself and alive unto Christ. He said, present your bodies, every part of your physical flesh and your living, right? So your mouth, your money, your marriage, your sex life, like your attitude, every part of you, you present it to God. And you go, "God, I'm going to live for you and dead to me, living sacrifice." And that is holy and acceptable. Your holiness is not your behavior. Your holiness is belonging to Jesus. Here's the thing. How many of you know if God gets his hands on anything, if God picked up this clicker is holy, right, everybody? And if God can just have your life, he'll make it holy. In fact, when God gets you, you're holy. And then he'll start changing you and start wrecking your life and start messing with how you do things. How many of you belong to God for a while and you're like, all of a sudden you look back and you go, "When did I start talking like this? When did I start praying like this? When did that happen?" It's because you gave your life to God and he made you holy and he made you better and he starts making you acceptable to himself, right? And then he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. The greatest life of worship you have is the life you live, not the songs you sing, right, everybody? So this is last Sunday's message. I don't want to re-preach it, even though I could, because as you can tell, I love this text. Then he goes in verse 2, he says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Don't be conformed to the culture, the prevailing winds of culture. Don't conform yourself in identity or beliefs or practices or whatever. And honestly, if we would just take a step back and realize Some of us have allowed culture to have more of a pull on us and more of a voice in our lives. And the natural response, as you just belong to this culture long enough, is you start looking like it. But Paul is encouraging us to die to culture, die to self, die to sin, and don't let culture conform you. But he said, be transformed, be made into something new by the renewal of your mind. So we present our bodies and we renew our minds. We present our bodies, we renew our minds. You guys remember that last week? And he said, by testing, you may discern what's the will of God, what's good and acceptable and perfect to the Lord. So listen, this is living different. That's not the language of our culture. That's not the language of some of our families. Some of our people, like I had a family member tell me once, they're like, Mike, most people don't live by that Bible. And I go, I know, that's why I keep preaching it. It's job security for me. As long as you guys don't want to do it, I'll keep talking about it. That's a joke. Some of you got the joke. It's a rough crowd this morning. Can I get a mm-hmm? All right, just checking to see if you're alive. But that's different from our culture, that we would live unto God, that we would die to ourselves, because our culture says you be your best you, you do whatever makes you happy, you go and do whatever is good for you as long as you don't hurt anybody. That's crazy talk when you're kingdom people. Because I don't want to do things that don't hurt anybody. I want to do things that honor Jesus. I don't want to be all that I can be. I want to be all that he's called me to be. We've got language in our culture. You know, we teach our little kids, babe, you can do anything you set your mind to. I don't want to do anything I set my mind to. I want to do everything God set his mind towards for me. I want to be all that God's called me to be and nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's different though. That's weird. How many of you know it's okay to be weird? You don't have to be a weirdo, but you can be weird. You can be different from the culture. Culture tells us to get all you can all you get. Step on who you need to succeed and get ahead. Promotion, get more, be more. And God's word tells us to be less and let him be more. Less of me, more of Jesus. Less of me, more of Jesus. It's weird. It's different. And so the first two parts of this message of chapter 12, he says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. And I asked you at the end of the message, I said, how much of your life looks like culture versus looks like scripture? And that's a really hard question to evaluate. If we're honest, we go, man, I don't really like that question. Anybody else not like that question besides Pastor Mike? Yeah, you liars. I see you, third service. Y'all are coming through with honesty. I appreciate it. Second service, not so much. Like, I don't like that text. I don't like when John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. I don't like that text. Because frankly, I like building my own kingdom. I like building my own stuff. I like building my own brand of Mike Burnett and my own name. Anybody else about, like, you know what I'm talking about? But that's the culture that we live in. Culture's told me since I was a little kid to do it that way. But God's word never changes. And God's word says, let Jesus be king and you just be a servant. Yeah. So what does it look like to live different? Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he goes, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Look at this. It's no longer Mike Burnett who lives. Put your own name in here on this text, Galatians 2. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Can you imagine that kind of mindset? Like, I don't think any of us would volunteer to be crucified for Christ, right? Anybody willing to go back in time 2,000 years, catch a DeLorean ride and go back and be like, Jesus, I got you, bro. Sit this one out. But his attitude is, you know what? When Jesus was crucified, it was for me, so I've been crucified with him. It's like you live on a cross. Like, that's the living sacrifice, right? You live dead. So let me give you another analogy, right? So you go to a restaurant and you get a meal and someone pays it for you. Somebody's paid your bill. Somebody's paid your debt. You don't go to the cash register and go, let me pay it anyway. Because I just want to pay my own bill. You go to the register and you're like, my bill's been paid. I've been paid for with Bob, you know, or whoever that paid your check. And Paul's saying, I've been crucified with Jesus. It's no longer me. Look what he says, it's no longer Mike who lives, it's no longer me, but it's Christ who's living in me and with me and through me. John 14, Jesus said, I'm gonna go to the Father and I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit and he's gonna dwell in you, among you, and with you. He's gonna lead you, guide you, direct you. It's not you who runs the show now, it's the Spirit of the living God who lives in you and is working through you. It's no longer us who live, but it's Christ living in me, and the life that I now live in this flesh, the life I now live in this culture, the life I now live in this world, I don't live unto myself, I live by faith in who? Self, I live by faith in culture, I live by faith in my degrees, I live by faith in my leadership abilities, I live by faith in Jesus. And can I just tell you, like, an abandoned life to Christ is the best way to live, but it's stinking weird to the culture we live in. That's why I'm calling you to live different. That's why I think the text is calling you to live different. Romans chapter 12 is a life-altering chapter. Our culture is racially divided, Christians should never be. Our culture's economically divided, Christians should never be. Our culture is gender divided and animistic. Our culture should never be. Our Christians should never be. Our culture is politically more toxic and divided than I ever remember. Our Christians should never be. I don't understand the division of Christianity. We divide over brands, over doctrines, over worship styles. Y'all have blue lights and smoke over there. By God, I can't even. There ain't no way. You kidding me? Hymns 100 years ago were the blue lights and smoke of their day. Seriously, they took old bar songs. Amazing Grace. You know, that was like an old bar song. Seriously, go Google it. I mean, all these old hymns, the melodies came from secular bar tunes, and they put Christian lyrics to them. Not all of them, but some of them. And so 100 years ago, they're like, these daggum hymns, man, that's just crazy talk. The worship fights will go on forever. But we divide ourselves over style and denomination. My favorite question to debunk when people go, tell me about LifePoint. What kind of denomination is it? I go, I don't know. Aren't you the pastor? Yeah. It's the good kind. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But that question in and of itself is a dividing line. That's somebody trying to figure out whether I'm going to agree or disagree with you just by asking that question. So I go, we're Anabaptist, Catholic, Roman, Lutheran, Jesus. I just throw out a whole bunch of stuff. I say, we preach the Bible and love Clarksville. That's what I know. And you can't really argue with that. Unless you don't believe the Bible. Unless you don't believe the Bible or like Clarksville. I guess you can't argue with that. But we're just so divided, and God's people never should be. Can I just say that one more time? Our culture is divided in so many ways. I just love seeing racial diversity in this room. Can I say praise God? Because heaven is diverse. I love seeing that. And we absolutely should reflect. I think the church has to lead the way in unity among otherwise diverse people and diverse economy and diverse genders and diverse expressions of life. We got to be unified in what? It's no longer us who lives. I'm not a white middle-class American. I'm a Christian. You're not a black upper-class American. You're a Christian. You're not a southerner or a northerner, you're a Christian. You're not rich or poor, you're a Christian. For to me, I no longer live. I don't get labels, I get Jesus. Is this helping anybody but me? I feel like I'm just having a preach on. But like, what if we were that different? What if we were like, I'm not getting into all that stuff. People have asked me, you know, election time, go vote this week, by the way. Go vote, early vote, it's better than late vote. But you know what? I serve the King of all kings. I don't care who's elected. I mean, I do care who's elected in the natural. I care. I got friends that I want to be elected. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I'm going to serve Jesus regardless. But we're so divided. I cannot believe a man of God would vote for blank, you know, a woman of God. Who do you think you are voting for? And we're so issue driven. All right, I should get back on my sermon notes. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can test and know the will of God. I titled this message, Live Different Part 2, and what a powerful text for us last week, and I think equally today. I felt like last Sunday was a game changer for me. I preached it 4 times, and I went back and listened to it too. Today we want to continue with the same idea of living different. Paul continues in Romans 12 with more of what it looks like now to be a follower of Jesus. It's like he's putting language to the living. He's putting language to what it looks like to live for God. More of what it looks like now to be a follower of Jesus, a person who loves God, lives for God. And remember, he spent the last few chapters moving us away from religious practice, like thinking, do these things and you'll be saved. That's not his case here. But now he's going to go into the end of the chapter going, now since you're saved, since you're a follower of Christ, since you belong to Jesus, here's what it looks like. Let me just clarify one more time. These things won't save you. Jesus saves you. But since he saved you, he's like, now here's what I want you to look like. Like, I love that. Jesus took the roughest, just like total outcast kind of people. He's like, yeah, you'll do. Come on. Come follow me. And you know, some of them probably were like, I'm not cleaned off enough. I'm not living right. And here's the God of the universe going, come hang with me. Jesus is probably thinking, no, you get around me, I'll fix all that. And that's the way we got to see Jesus. Get around him, he'll fix all that. Man, that's a tweetable right there. That's just tweet that right now, change your life. So now he's moving us into this clear teaching about what it means to look like and to live like and behave like followers of Christ, people who belong to him. Listen, these things won't save you, but he saved you, and now you look like this. It's kind of like identification markers, right? Like I can look at a soldier in uniform and know you're an army soldier, and you can see the rank on the chest and know what their rank is, and you can see tabs on the shoulders and know there's all these markers that means they don't have to tell you anything about themselves. They just walk up and you see rank and name and mark and country and whatever. And I think in the same way as Christians, Paul's going to give us a list of things that mark us as followers of Jesus. They don't save you, they mark you. Does that make sense? So be careful, we're not getting into religious rules to be saved. Jesus saved you, so now be marked by these things. There's 30 of them, by the way. I'm about to mess with all of you, it's going to be great. Now that we belong to Christ, we get to live different. And we should look different. I think there's something about being weird to this culture. I don't think you need to be a weirdo, but you should be weird. You should be different from the world. So look, here's the first thing he tells us, though. Don't be prideful. Before he gets into this, and I think it's because he's dealt with religion and religious people thinking if they just obey all the rules, then they've got God figured out and they've made it. And Paul starts, before he talks about what we should look like, he's like, don't be cocky about this. Don't be arrogant. I think pride is something we're all born with. It's in our nature. We can't escape it. It's attached to us from birth. It follows us everywhere. Pride's the root of all sin, honestly. Pride is you going, I want to do my way versus God's way. That's ultimately what sin is. Pride is going, I feel this way, so I'm going to live it out. I have these emotions. I have these feelings. I have these desires, so I'm going to live it out, whether it's greed, lust, sexual sin. You're going to flip out on somebody and cuss them out. That's pride going, I'm going to do it my way versus God's way. Sin is always rooted in pride. So we got to be on guard when pride creeps in. And Paul starts by saying, look, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your bodies living sacrifice. And then he goes, for the grace of God given to me, I'm telling all of you this. I say to everyone among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Can I just tell you, you've not figured God out. You've not made it. You've not arrived. You're not better than anybody else in this room. You're not a better super Christian than anyone else. I don't care if you're the pastor or the parking lot guy. You've not figured out God well enough. Don't think of yourself too highly. You're lost without Jesus. You're only found because of Jesus. You only have eternity through Christ. It's not about you. It's only about him. It's not about you. It's only about him. It's not about you. It's only about him. Don't think of yourself as something more than you ought. Don't think your brands, don't think your theological understandings make you any closer to Jesus. God's not looking at doctoral ministry candidates and going, man, you guys can come into the upper room. Like, you're not better than anybody else. You're just another strength. You're just another hungry person that you figured out where to get some food, and your only job is to tell other hungry people where to get the same food. Because the bread of life is to do the will of God, not to be somebody. It's to make Jesus somebody. Don't think of yourself ever like, listen, God's growing his church here. We were named the fastest growing church in America, and we are nothing. It's all about Jesus. It's not us. It's him. We have nothing to celebrate except Christ and what he's doing here. Don't be prideful, he says. Don't ever think. Part of me read this text, and I'm like, this is so curious. Like, it feels like a bad cut and paste. Anybody ever get a bad cut and paste and leave it in a document? You know what I'm saying? I feel like, why in the world? Paul's talking about don't conform to the world, live dead, living sacrifice. And then he goes on to this whole thing of what it means to belong to the body of Christ and all these 30 statements. And then, but he stops. And he's like, don't get arrogant. Because I think our tendency is we figure out verses 1 and 2 and we go, okay, I got it. I'm going to live dead. I'm going to living sacrifice my life to God. And I've got it. I figured it out. I know how to be holy now. And God, Paul's like, no. Please don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. But be humble. Think with sober judgment. According to the measure of faith God's given you. Listen, everything about your life that God has done is God has done it, not you. What a glorious God we serve. I think of Paul. Like he's like the top dog in the whole New Testament church. He's writing the Bible. Anybody else got that on their resume? Like your curriculum vitae says, I went to Oxford, went to Cambridge, went to the University of Tennessee where Jesus went. Parentheses, where Jesus went. I've written scholarly works on appendectomy, science, research, medical research, biography. Oh, and I wrote 2/3 of the Bible. Anybody got that on their pedigree? Paul's going, I'm like one of the top guys in the church world. I get it. I'm planting churches all over the place, and I'm writing scripture, and my letters are circulating everywhere. And here's Paul's attitude. But I was just a few years ago a murderer, a convict. I was trying to kill people that followed this Jesus that now I'm fully in on, I'm fully surrendered to. He's like, I'm nobody. I'm worse than nobody. I have no business doing this. It's only by the grace of God given to me that I even say this to you. It's only because God has done something wonderful in me that I can even speak to you with any kind of apostolic authority or pastoral care. And listen, that's Mike Burnett's story too, and that's your story. It's only by the grace of God has he taken something that was totally messed up and twisted up and backwards and busted up, and he's flipped our lives upside down. And listen, he's not done with you yet, but you've never figured it out. Don't get cocky, stay humble. We're all a work in progress. Can I hear a big amen? Religion and behavior-based Christianity somehow makes us get a little cocky. You ever dealt with religious people? Y'all need a YouTube video? Like, well, y'all need some help? You ever dealt with religious people that just feel like they've got God figured out a little more than you? I kind of get a little, I like kind of chuckle in their face sometimes, you know, like, you ever had somebody knock on your door to try to sell you their religion? You know, like the rules you got to practice and the magazines you got to read and the ways to God. I mean, that's so arrogant. It's all the grace of God. I'm nothing without him. I'm only something with him. And listen, if I lost everything in my life, I would still be complete and whole and still a wonderfully loved son of the Most High God. If I lost my church, my family, my health, if I lost all my money, if I lost everything in the world that I have, I would still be a gloriously blood-bought child of the Most High God. It's only in him that we're anything. Don't ever lose sight of that. God's doing some great things in this church. Don't be arrogant about it, church. Be humble. I have men in my life that constantly tell me to stay humble. We owe it all to Jesus. It's only from him and through him and about him that he does anything in us. We owe everything to God. He saves us, delivers us, redeems us. He fulfills us. He gives us gifts. He gives us abilities. He gives us strength. He helps us overcome temptation. We owe everything to him. So stay humble about that. John the Baptist, the great baptizer who baptized Jesus, another resume builder. My name's John the Baptist. Oh, yeah, who have you baptized? Well, Jesus, for starters. You're hired. When Jesus comes on the scene, he tells all of his followers, he goes, go follow him. Don't look at me, go follow him. And they actually come to John the Baptist and they're like, wait, you're the baptizer. You're John the Baptist. By the way, he wasn't John the Southern Baptist. Come on, somebody say glory. He wasn't a free will Baptist. All right, I guess that wasn't that funny. Third service got me laughing though, come on. When Jesus walks in front of John the Baptist, in front of all of his disciples, he goes, he must increase. More of him, he said, I must decrease. This isn't about me. John, like the guy who baptized Jesus, says, it's not about me. It's about him. Your whole life, everything you've done, can you just give God some glory for it? Everything he's done in you, can you give God some glory? You've built the greatest department at Austin Peay, give God glory. You've built the greatest medical practice at delivering babies, give God the glory. You've built a great hunting career, give God the glory. You got a great bank, give God the glory. Because listen, if you were to lose it all today, you're still gloriously, wonderfully saved, and you are the apple of his eye, and he loves you so much. He'd die for you if you had nothing or if you had everything. Hallelujah. Yeah, I have men in my life that tell me all the time to stay humble. I got Dr. Littleton attends our church, and every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, he's here. And he always leaves, and he texts me. He goes, Pastor, great word. Love you. Stay humble. Every time he talks to me, he says, stay humble. I'm like, am I an arrogant punk? You know, why are you telling me that all the time? It's just a great reminder. Stay humble. Humility is one of the hallmarks of Christian living. Now, you and I are a family now. I don't know if you come from dysfunctional family. I think all of us do because we're human. You know, I love comparing dysfunctional family Christmas stories. I used to do that when I was a teenager. I had a neighbor. She and her husband, they were like, man, our family is crazy. I was like, you ain't been to New Orleans with my family. You know what I'm saying? So we'd always get back in January and be like, let's swap stories. But all of us come from dysfunctional families. And can I just tell you, at some measure, and some of you have really great families, and I know that's true, but listen, because of Jesus, we are now a family in Christ. We're a family of God. We're the people of God. We're the family of God. This is normative language for the New Testament. I want you to look around and look at your cousins and your family and your brothers and sisters. Say, what up, cuz? I mean, we're family now. And some of you would not ever belong to some of the other people in this room if it weren't for Jesus. That's the culture's way, but the weird way of body of Christ is we now belong to each other because of Jesus. How many of you know it takes all kinds? And Christianity is not a Lone Ranger religion. You are never expected to do this faith on your own. In fact, we've said it here for years, a Christian without a church family is a spiritual orphan. You are never meant to do Christianity alone. Those people that say you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, you don't have to belong to a church to be a Christian, they're not reading the Bible. They don't know. That's absolutely wrong. That's error. Hebrews 10:25, right here we see it. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We are a family together. And listen, not only do you benefit from the body of Christ, but you're also a gift to the rest of us, and we need you. How many of you would like it if I just walked into the lobby with you after service with some clippers and I just lopped off your pinky? You're like, well, I don't really use it that much. I mean, it's no big deal. How many of you would think that would be awful? Some of you not sure? I'll see you in the lobby. Here's the deal. When you're missing, we feel it. We need you. We need you going in. We need you participating. We need you serving. We need you showing up. We need you giving. We need everything about what you bring to this body. Because we're a family now. And the analogy Paul uses is like a body of Christ. And he says all the parts of the body are different but necessary. You know that pinky toe is necessary. Did you know the appendix is necessary? You've never even seen your appendix before. But it's necessary. And we need you. You might be a nose. You might be a head. You might be a hairy back. We need you. Keep us warm in wintertime. Come on, somebody. Keep creepy teenagers away from your kids at the pool. Just show up and be like, see my back? We need you. Man, I can't wait till boys start showing up around my girls. I'm going to embarrass the crap out of you. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so great. Just be around with my shirt off all the time. Come here, boy. You want to take my girl out? Comb this. I don't know what happened to me just now. I don't really have a hairy back either. That's the funny part. Like, but I'm going to grow it out for the first boy that shows up in your life. I love you, Lucy. Verse 4 and 5. I really have no idea what happened just now. All right. For as in one body we have many members, and the members don't all have the same functions, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, while individually members of one another. See, one of the problems with organized religion is it tries to make everybody be the same. We are here to work, you know. I don't want y'all to be the same. I want you to be gloriously weird and different. Because that's the beauty of God taking people that don't belong otherwise and making them one. Your races are different, your economies are different, your ethnicities, like your background's different, your sin issues are different, your gifts are different, your talents are different. I need you to be different. I don't want you to be the same. I could not imagine pastoring a church of all the same. I don't need you to be like me, and you don't need me to be like you. We gotta be different. Pinkies are different than thumbs, and eyeballs are different than toes. And the best thing for speaking is mouths. The best thing for shaking hands is hands. Like, we need you to be the best you that you can be, the best thing that God's gifted you to be, and we need you to be different. This is an echo of Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. He says the same thing. We are saved. We're the Christian church. We're the family. We're the body. And listen, as clearly as I can say this, you are absolutely necessary to this body being whole. You are necessary to this body being whole. And listen to me, church, when you don't show up, we suffer. And when you do show up, we get better. Like, think about that. When you're healthy, when you're going and growing in the things of God, and you just show up and you're useful and you're useful to the kingdom, like, we all get better. Here's what I believe. Can I just rant for a moment? There are gifts and dreams and ministries that have yet to surface because you haven't showed up with them yet. You might be showing up to sit in a service and you might attend the church, but we're not calling you to attend the church. We want you to belong to this church. We want you to have buy-in. We want you to take ownership, belong as a member, get on a dream team, be in a small group. When we all show up, we all get better. There are dreams in this room that haven't come to surface yet because you're still just attending. And I want to ask you to step forward and let your gifts shine. As many members as there are is as many ministries as we have and as many gifts as we have. It fleshes out in giving. It fleshes out in serving. It fleshes out when we have events and when we're inviting. You're the best invitation to the city. It's you showing up. You know, there are ministries that have been popping up lately because new people have joined the Dream Team. I told you about our ministry to serve with skilled labor. You know, we've got plumbers and electricians, and we've got carpenters that are doing their jobs out there, and we've got a guy in the church, Wes Golden, who said, you know what? I want to put that team together. I want to put those people together and serve our city. We're going to serve widows and orphans and elderly and shut-ins, and we're going to build decks and ramps and fix kitchens and do things for them. And all of a sudden, that ministry popped up because a dream showed up when he showed up. By the way, on November 3rd and 10th, we're going to take that team, and we're going to Nashville to serve Zeal Church. We're going to partner with another church, and this body is going to bless that body because you guys are showing up. It shows up in giving. Listen, our church is about 40% behind the giving potential for the size of church we are in the city we live in. About 40% behind. You know what that means? We don't staff as strong as we could. We don't do as much ministry as we can. We don't build fast enough, pay down debt quick enough. And listen, you know me. I'm not one to beat people up over giving. But here's what I believe. Everything God wants to do through this church, he'll pay for it if you'll give. Everything God wants to do here. Our next building is already in my brain full of people. On that big old dirt pile over there, it's already built in my head. But it ain't built till you show up. Giving, serving, attending, inviting, prayer. Like, we need your gift. We need you. And I don't want to beat this up, but I just want to tell you, we try to make it as easy as possible. We give you teams to serve on. We give you lanes to make these things possible. Giving apps and buckets. I mean, we do everything we can to kind of hand it off to you so that you can show up. And Paul says, look, we're all one body and all members are necessary. That's how he writes in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, in fact, even some of the parts that seem lower value are equally valuable to the rest of the body. All of you matter. Then he says, look, you all have gifts that differ. I don't need you to be the same. I don't want you to be the same. We all have gifts that differ, and he says, use them according to the grace given to us. Remember, Paul's right. This is only God's grace that I'm this way. I'm able to do this. And whatever God's graced you with, you may have the most crazy, out-of-the-box grace on your life that no one in the church world's ever heard of. Anybody have the YouVersion Bible app? That's the free, it's the most downloaded app in the world. That was a guy at Life Church in Oklahoma City who he and his pastor, Craig Rochelle, get together and go, man, I got an idea to build an app. Nobody was building apps in the church. There ain't no spiritual gift of app building. 1 Corinthians 12, prophecy, faith, miracles, speaking in tongues, building apps. It ain't there. But God put a grace on that guy. It's the number one downloaded app in the world. And you all have it on your phone. We use it here to put sermon notes on it. Having grace that differ, according to the grace given to us, let us use them. All of us use them. Look, and he kind of gives a short list. He goes, look, if it's prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to faith. That's my primary gift, prophetic. I want to preach, right? Preaching. If it's service, serve people with grace. If it's teaching, use your grace to teach. If it's exhorting, be an exhorter. Let the grace of God flourish in your exhortation. If it's the one who contributes, some of you guys have a gift of generosity. You're the best Christmas gift giver. You love like baking cakes and giving stuff away to all the people in your office. Listen, like if you're a giver, if you're a contributor, you're just a generous person even beyond your tithing, then let that grace show out in you. We actually have a dream team here called our legacy team. These are people who have said, I have a grace of giving. I love to give money. And I want to see missions happen. I want to see churches plant. You know, the reality is for a lot of churches, there's tons of people in our churches that love to give. They just don't know that they can love to give here. They don't know, like they love to give to United Way or American Red Cross or to all these different, and we're giving to those things as a church. So we've created a team that lets you know how you're giving to here can help make those things still happen. We want to build Habitat for Humanity homes, and I want to write checks and pay cash for them, 2 to 3 a year. That's in my heart. I think it's part of what God has for us. And there are people with a heart of generosity who will go, I got the next house. Pay it. That's your gift. The person who leads, lead with zeal. The person who does acts of mercy, do those acts with cheerfulness. Listen, you and I are all part of this family. And when you show up, we all get better. When you back out, we suffer. It's older than us, it's bigger than us, it's beyond our boundaries of culture and language and timelines and generations. This is a family that was here before us. We belong to the same family as the Apostle Paul, and we belong to the same family as those that will come ahead of, behind us. What you offer to the body of Christ is so valuable. The rest of us are literally not whole without your participation. Is that good? You guys okay? Pastor's just preaching a little bit right now. I'm talking about myself in the third person. Pastor just brought it for you. You doing okay with Pastor? You know, that's why we preach verse by verse through the Bible. There's text in there that we don't like, but you got to deal with it. You got to let the word speak to you. That's why I believe it's so important to be a part of small groups and Dream Team. We think that your church membership even matters. All right, third thing is because we're a family, this family lives different. You ever known families in your neighborhood or wherever you're like, that family's just different? You know what I'm talking about? There's certain families you don't want your kids going to their house because you're like, I don't know what's going on. Their kids can come to my house, but they can't go to their house. Y'all know you do that. Don't play. Maybe you're that family. Maybe that's why you don't know. You're like, why do they always invite my kids over to their house? What's wrong with our house? I just let you in on something, didn't I? That's all right. This is a family that lives different. If you're going to belong to Jesus and his family, we're going to be a family that lives different. Different than the culture, different than the world. And it's okay. We're not going to live by rules of religion. We're going to live by surrender to Jesus. Remember what I said last week. Holiness is not a pattern of behavior. Holiness is a posture of belonging to Christ. So what's it look like to live for Christ? I mean, could you imagine the 12 disciples, what they were like in their daily just life? Could you imagine being like best friends with Jesus and catching Peter on the side one day when Jesus is over there preaching, be like, Peter, bro, what is it like hanging with that dude all the time? Peter be turning around all glowy, like, you have no idea, man. This is the greatest thing ever. How are you paying your bills? I don't even care. I gave up my fishing career. I'm just on the road all the time, walking. Man, you're super fit. I was real fat, but I walk a lot now. Like, could you imagine just pulling these guys away and be like, what's it like? Hey, church, listen, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You should make a marked difference when you show up in a room. When you come into work this week, people should go, oh my gosh, you've been with Jesus. What's that like? Oh my goodness, the God of the universe, the Holy Spirit lives in you. There's something about it. We are weird. We're different to culture. I love, like, when I read through the Gospels and I read about Jesus, everywhere he walked, every time he came into a room, every time he showed up, heaven appeared. Think about it. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus would, in Matthew 14, it said he went about all over the place preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Everywhere he went, heaven showed up. That's how it should be when you come into a place. Because the Spirit of God's in you. Because you belong to Jesus. Now look, I'm not saying because you're perfect, but because you belong to the one who is perfect. You know what I'm saying? Eight people get it. Okay, it's cool. It's cool. We'll get there. You ever known somebody who met somebody famous? And they go, you go, what was it like? What was his, what, do you have a cologne? Like, was he nice? How's his breath? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I think all of your lives should be like contagious because you're close to God. You belong to Jesus. So I love how Paul ends this passage. And it's like, it's markers. It's identification markers of followers of Christ. And it has nothing to do with what you wear and your behavior. It's just how you should be. Now, these things won't save you. I want to be very clear. These things don't save you. But because you're saved, this is how now, these should be reflections of us. Kind of like if you're in the army and you wear a uniform, I just see it on you. I see your name, your rank. I see all these things about you. They just mark you as a soldier. I don't have to ask, are you in the army? When you're wearing an army uniform, unless you're Stolen Valor, at which point I'm going to pull out my phone and video it. I'm going to show everybody on YouTube. I'm not really going to do that. So then Paul from 9 to 21 gives us 30 distinguishing markers of Christian living. 30. Everybody say 30. These aren't rules. These are marks. These are distinguishers. Like, you know how you can distinguish a Southerner? Right by the way he talks. How do you distinguish Northerners? They put ketchup on their eggs. They eat cream of wheat. I don't get it. God help them find grits. Come on, somebody. And you don't eat grits with sugar. God help them find some salt and butter, please. For the love of God, put some scrimp in them grits. What's wrong with you people in the north? It's because they've been inside all winter long. I married a northerner from Ohio. Her, no lie, her phone number on her voicemail used to say, hi, you've reached 705-1869. I used to always leave her voicemails, hi, Stephanie, this is Michael, you know. Yankees, you know what I'm saying? What do we do with them? So these are marks of Christian living. These are your accent. This is your essence. This is how we are. Ready? Look what he says. Watch this. Verse 9 through 21, 30 things. And I don't even think this is exhaustive. This is just a good starter. Let love be genuine. Man, your love should be so just normal and real. Look at, he goes, hate what's evil. Like, we should, this is part of don't conform to culture. A lot of the things in culture are just evil. Like, I hate things that God hates. David said it like that. I want to love what you love and hate what you hate. So I hate these things. I don't hate people that do them. I just hate that they do them. I hate what they do. God's not mad at you, but he is mad that you do some stuff that he hates. We got to get that distinction right. Like, some people are like, well, hey, love the sinner, hate the sin. No. Love people and hate what's evil. And help them hate what's evil. You know, like, we live in a human trafficking culture. That is the most evil you could do to a human being. Abortion, murder, evil, horrible. I hate this stuff. And then we've given excuses to all these things. Pornography and trafficking. And all. Are you kidding me? We are to hate what's evil. But you don't have to hate evil. You hate words too, apparently. We don't hate evil people. We love, genuinely love people who do evil things. I'm talking about Jesus. We hate what's evil. Hold fast to what's good. Man, we've lost a sense of that. Hold fast to what is good. This is all one verse so far, just verse 9. Here we go, verse 10. I'm going to move faster. Love one another with brotherly affection. Man, I love you like my brother. Some of us fight with our brothers, but we always make up. Outdo one another in showing honor. I've never seen anybody do this. Hey, man, I honor you. No, I honor you. No, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to outdo you in honor. I'm going to do honor to you. I've never seen that. Instead, we outdo one another and slamming each other and dissing each other and Facebook fighting each other. And I dare you, the next time somebody slams you online, just bless them. Honor them. Say, thank you so much for such a beautifully crafted sentence. You are so smart, and I've learned from you today. I've learned how to delete you. He says, don't be slothful in your zeal or your passion. He says, be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Stop praying over meals and bedtimes only and be a person of prayer. Look, contribute to the needs of the saints. These are just markers of Christians. These are just things that we do. Contribute, be a generous person. You should never come to a place where the church is going, hey, we got these needs and whatever, and you go, no, that ain't my problem. I'm gonna let other people do it. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. I dare you to invite someone to your home. I dare you to invite someone out for a meal. Just be hospitable. Seek to show hospitality. Open doors for people. Literally, when you come to a door, open it for the next person. They may be 30 yards away. Just stand there and hope. Hold it. They'll come to the door. What are you doing? Go, I'm just seeking to show you hospitality. Even electric doors at Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Come on in. Hospitality. Come on, ma'am. Like, seek to show hospitality. These are markers of Christians. Not just doors. You saw, I'm talking general as well. He goes on, the 14th one. Look, here we go now. This is the hard stuff. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Some of you are like, the best blessing I could do is not say what I'm thinking out loud. Don't curse them in your heart either. Bless them. Some of you need to bless them with a move, a prayer for a move. God, I pray you bless them with a promotion on the other side of the nation. Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying God bless you with a new job right away. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Man, that is so weird for our culture today, isn't it? Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. One of the American dreams is to get better and get higher and get more. And you know what we do? We end up leaving people who don't have anything. When's the last time you just spent time with people that have no social status or other reason to be in your life? When is the last time you gave yourself to people who are low? I'm going to tell you what, that'll change you more than anything. And let me tell you who modeled it. God, who was perfect in the heavens, emptied himself of the heavens to come and be with us. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. Give thought to do what's honorable in the sight of all people. Here's one of my favorites. If possible, so far as it depends on you, verse 18, live peaceably with all people. Whoo! How many of you wish that was a deleted text? Now look, some of us go, well, I'll be peaceful with them if they'll be peaceful with me. We deal with that with siblings. Well, you don't know what they've done to me. Paul didn't say, well, I mean, as long as they weren't a jerk to you first. He said, if possible, so long as it depends on you. Don't let your willingness to be peaceful with others be determined on their unwillingness to be peaceful with you. Never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. My clicker stopped working. Help me in the back, will you? Never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, come on now, feed him. Some of you have been in war areas where you've had to bless those who are enemies. You've had to care for those that have been wounded in combat against you, or you've had to give food or water away. Next verse, he said, if your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. Can you imagine living that out? Like, how countercultural is that? He said, by doing it, you'll heap burning coals on their head. You got to fight with somebody, and you're like, man, I can't stand you. This is an angry fight. And your mouth's all foaming. It's like, you look really thirsty, man. You need something to drink? Yes, I do. Here, drink this. Golly, I hate you. Are you hungry? And I know for some of our soldiers especially, that's really hard. I'll never forget talking to a buddy of mine. He attends here, and he was a medic. He was a nurse. And he had to care for a guy who was wounded from trying to blow up some of our guys. And man, you talk about just character. That's a weird thing to have to do. And he's like, man, this guy was cussing me, saying, if I get free from these things, I'm going to kill you. And he's dressing his wounds. And I said to my buddy, his name's Singe. I go, Singe, that's the most godly thing you could do. I get it. That is hard, hard, hard. But we're different. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. By doing so, you'll heap burning coals on their head. Then the last two, I don't know why my clicker stopped working. Anybody do that in Nintendo games? Do not be overcome by evil. The last one, overcome evil with good. Let me just ask you as we close. I'm not going to ask you to perform these things. I just want to ask you, how you doing? Like, if I looked at you today and I saw you in uniform, I would just see marks about you. I'd see your uniform, your name, your rank, all these things about you. And I would identify some things about you. And I wouldn't have any questions just going, I know what you are, I know who you are, I know what you do. So as a follower of Christ, let me just ask you, how are you doing with these marks? And I don't want anybody to leave here and go, I got to go perform these things better. Like, if I can get all 30 checked off, God's going to welcome me into heaven. No, he's just saying, this is what should mark us. This is how we should look. So how are you doing with that? Because we're a family now, and we're weird, we're different. We want to live as though Christ is Lord of our lives and Christ is Lord of our hearts. How are you doing with that? Let me just ask you like this. Does anybody desire to be and to live and to look like you belong to Jesus? Does anybody desire that? Can I just know? Some of you may be on the fence about that, and that's why you're here, because you're just checking Jesus out. You're wanting to know if this is a church you can trust. I think it is. I trust it, but I work here. You're wanting to know if this is a place that's going to give you room to figure this stuff out. And let me tell you something. I don't care how you got here. There's room for you here to get wrecked by Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're living like. Scripture will deal with your lifestyle and your living. But listen, there's room for you here to get that figured out too. Because by the grace of God only am I in any position to be able to preach this stuff to you. So I don't want anybody to leave here feeling like I got to get my act together. I got to get these rules right. I want you to leave here going, I need to get closer to Jesus. I need to get closer to God. I need to let him wreck my life, change me, transform me. Is that anybody else's desire but mine? Come on. Can we stand together and let's close in prayer? I want to challenge you in three areas as you leave here today. Number one, a couple areas. First of all, I want to encourage you to always show up as part of the body of Christ. You would never want to be whole without your pinky toe. You'd never want to be whole without your nose, without your arms. Show up. We need you. We're better because of you. You go, well, you don't know my story. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. And you don't know our stories either, but we still need you. But in a couple ways, number one, I want to invite you to go all in with Jesus. Give your life to him completely. And by the way, this is the daily discipline of Christians. You don't just get saved and hang on till heaven. Every day, you give your life to Jesus. Every day you give your behaviors to Jesus. Every day you give yourself away to God. So that's why I lead that prayer every Sunday. God, I'm all in. We're going to pray that again in just a moment. Second, I want to ask you to consider again what needs to die in your life so that you can have life. what needs to go. Relationships, some patterns of sin, some behavior choices. Maybe you're locked into an identity that's out of God's will. Maybe you're locked into a pattern of behaviors that's out of God's will. Maybe you've got relationships or friendships that are out of God's will. What in your world needs to die so that you can have life in Christ? And then third, I want to ask everybody in the room to be accountable. Be accountable to the body of Christ. Be accountable to a small group. Every one of you should join a small group. And I know we're finishing in like 4 weeks with small groups for the semester, and we'll start again in January. But this is actually the best time to join one because they're about to have a Thanksgiving party and the food is off the hook. But this is the best time. Be accountable. Grab two or three friends. I don't care. It doesn't have to be an official life group at Life One Church. Grab a few people and say, I need to be accountable with somebody. I need to give my life to Jesus, and I need to give accountability to you. And let's go all in with Jesus on this. This is what it means to be family with Christ. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird in our culture, but it's good. Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Can we bow our hearts and our eyes to the Lord and say this prayer with me? Say, God, I believe in Jesus. Come on, say it for real. Say, God, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sin so that I can have eternal life and I can live eternally now. And I say, I'm going all in. I confess my sin. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for you to cleanse me, to make me new. And I declare this with me. Say, I will live for Jesus for the rest of my life. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord God, to live for you in Jesus' name. God, we give you our whole selves. We give you our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. We thank you, Lord, for your word is alive and active and true. And God, it's changing us. We give you glory, God. We give you honor and praise today in Jesus' name.